Don Amici, Maureen O'Sullivan, Warren Williams. The Gulf Screen Guild Theater. Your neighborhood good golf dealer and the Gulf Oil Companies welcome you to the Gulf Theater, the one place where you meet all your favorite stars. Betty Davis, William Powell, Gene Arthur, Jack Benny, Spencer Tracy, to name only a few of the Hollywood stars who will appear here in weeks to come. And tonight, the Gulf Theater presents Don Amici, Maureen O'Sullivan, Warren Williams, Oscar Bradley, and the Gulf Orchestra. And now your host, the director of the Gulf Theater, Roger Pryor.
Good evening, everyone. Here on the stage of the Gulf Screen Guild Theater are three of the grandest people who have ever appeared before a camera. Don Amici, Maureen O'Sullivan, and Warren Williams. Although all three are working hard in pictures, Warren on the set right next to mine, they gladly gave up what spare time they had to rehearse for tonight's play. As you know, the money the stars would ordinarily get for appearing here in the Gulf Theater, Gulf gives instead to help meet the needs of the Motion Picture Relief Fund and to build a home for the less fortunate fellows in the picture industry. Tonight's play is Winter in Paris, a brand new story by Steve Fisher. Don Amici plays the part of a young American, Charles Mitchell Lewis, Maureen O'Sullivan as Kathy, his sweetheart, and Warren William appears as the American Embassy attaché, George Conley. Now, on with the play. This is the story of a boy and a girl caught in the net of international intrigue. It might have happened anywhere, anytime. For us, the story begins at the American Consulate in Paris. George Conley, attaché at the consulate, is talking to young Charles Mitchell Lewis, who has dropped in to see him.
Don't tell me I'm dreaming, Mitch. Don't tell me you've come in for a visa, that you're sailing for home.
No, not a chance, Conley. You're wrong again.
I don't know what I'm going to do with you, Mitch. You've been hanging around Paris for 3 months now, ever since you got back from Spain. You can't get a job. Your money's almost gone.
Well, I...
Don't argue with me. I know it is. And you won't even write your folks.
Well, you know how they are in South Dakota. They wouldn't understand.
They're not the only ones. I don't either. Look, Mitch, you went to Spain with a lot of silly notions about romance and high adventure. And what did you get?
Oh, a little bad wine, a lot of noise.
And a leg full of shrapnel, and complete disillusionment. What do you expect to find in Paris?
Well, I don't know exactly. But this town owes me something, Conley, and I'm going to stay and collect.
Paris is dangerous, Mitch. A fellow like you can get in plenty of trouble.
Oh, forget it, Conley. I can take care of myself.
Your name is Mitchell Lewis. You are American. Why have you come to us?
Because I haven't had a full meal in almost a month. Because it's the middle of September and I'm tired of sleeping in the park at night. And my legs start aching when it rains. Is that enough?
Yes, but I must warn you. For success, we pay well. For failure, death.
Yeah, I understand.
2 weeks from now, a special agent will leave Moscow on the Paris Express. That agent will carry important papers. We want those papers at any cost.
I understand. Anything else?
Your first assignment will be very pleasant. Their agent happens to be a woman.
Catherine, you know these papers are very important?
I know.
Be careful. They have sent an American this time. They have arranged that he will share the same compartment with you on the train. Be clever. Talk to him. Our men will take care of him when you reach Berlin.
May I ask you for a match, monsieur?
Sure, of course. You bet. There you are.
Merci. Something funny?
I don't know. Just suppose you didn't smoke. We'd still be sitting here.
No.
For hours, maybe. I couldn't even ask you what your name is.
My name is Catherine.
Catherine, huh? Mm-hmm. Well, mine's Mitch.
Oh.
You French?
Half French. Oh. Half Russian.
Oh, I see.
My mother died, and I've been visiting my father's family in Moscow. Now I'm going back to Paris again.
Right through to Paris?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, say, that's great. Me too. I'm going through to Paris, too.
Nice.
She's beautiful and young and a tolerant teaser.
Would you like another glass of wine, Kathy?
Well, the conductor says we only stop here in Warsaw 40 minutes.
Oh, we still have 20 minutes. We'll be in Berlin tomorrow.
I won't really be happy, though, until I'm in Paris again. And Brittany. I was brought up in Brittany. It's so lovely there. But later, my mother moved to Paris. Do you know my father was in Russia so much that I hardly ever saw
Kathy.
Him until I... Yes?
I couldn't sleep last night. It's pretty horrible to toss and turn and not be able to keep from thinking, not even for a minute. And all today, every time you smiled at me, I thought it... Look, Kathy. You see this little envelope? There's a greenish powder in it. You see?
Mitch?
I was supposed to slip it in your wine. And then when you were drugged, I was to search your bags.
My people would have killed me, Mitch.
Yes, I know.
My uncle made me do it. He said I wouldn't be suspected. I was ideal to carry certain papers. Certain papers.
Yes, yes, I know.
Mitch, what have we got into?
We couldn't help it, either of us. Well, there's the whistle. Get back to train, Kathy. You'll be safe now.
And you?
I'm staying here.
Oh, but they'll find you, Mitch. Those men you're working for, they're not in this for a country or a cause. They're in this only for themselves, for money. They'll hunt you down. They'll kill you, Mitch.
They'll have to find me first. Come on, Kathy. You better hurry.
No.
Now, Kathy, please. There's not much time.
I love you, Mitch.
Kathy, darling.
And you love me. I know you do.
But you don't realize. We'd never have a moment's rest.
I love you, Mitch.
Both sides would be after us. We'd have to hide like criminals. Even worse, a girl like you...
I love you, Mitch. I'll never leave you now.
Well, I still don't know the police for ideas. But we're married, Kathy.
And you haven't even mentioned the honeymoon.
Say, how would our bank balance look if we had our money in the bank?
We have 8,000 francs between us.
8,000? Well, say, mm-hmm. Say, that's a lot of money. That's over 400 bucks.
Uh-huh.
Where would you like to go, madame? Berlin, perhaps?
No. I don't think you'd like Berlin.
All right. Vienna? Budapest?
We're both too small. Don't forget we have to hide.
Which leaves us Paris, I suppose, huh?
Well, Paris would be wonderful to hide in.
Yeah, but they'll be watching the buses and the trains, you know. Gee, if we could think of some way of getting in...
Mitch, have you ever traveled by barge?
By barge?
Oh, now, don't be so superior. Whole families live on barges all the year round. They'd never think of looking for us on a barge.
Well, all right. Paris you want, Paris has got to be, even if we go by barge. Now, is there anything else?
Mm-hmm. I love you, Mitch.
Gee, you know, Kathy, this is the Paris I used to dream about. Paris that was going to give me everything I've always been looking for. Someone like you, of course. Seeing things with you. The Eiffel Tower, Rainbow Fountain on the Seine. And people at the little sidewalk tables smiling because they know we're in love. You know, Kathy, I think I'm getting romantic.
Mitch, do you think we should walk here on the Champs-Élysées? I mean, do you think it's safe?
Oh, sure it is. A night like this.
Well, you know what they told you, Mitch? They said it'll be sudden death.
Yeah, I know, but you can't stay cooped up in one little room forever. You've got to have some fun. A little wine and music. And maybe...
Probably, monsieur.
Yeah.
So sorry, monsieur, but I wonder if you could tell me
Mitch!
Where...
He's got a gun!
Will you...
Mitch!
Come on, quick! Keep back in the shadows, Kathy. I think we've given him the slip.
Oh, he was one of my uncle's men. He had a gun.
I wonder if they found out where we live.
Oh, they might be waiting. We can't go back.
No. Don't worry, darling. We won't go back. We'll find some other place to live. I'm getting so I sort of like this room, Kathy. Of course, it's not as nice as the last one we had, but it's much better than that one we had in the Montparnasse.
Mitch, do you think maybe they'll stop looking for us?
Oh, sure they will. Are you frightened, Kathy?
Not when you're here.
Are you happy?
What do you think?
Me? Oh, I think... Well, I think the Paris must be made of magic. Even in a gloomy room like this, even with the shades drawn, the light creeps in and somehow your hair gets to be all gold. And I'm the richest man in France.
Chérie.
Don't answer that.
Open for the police.
Police?
Oh, well, that's nothing to be afraid of. We're not hiding from the police. Just a minute.
Good afternoon, monsieur. Routine examination. May I see your passport, please?
Oh, well, sure, of course. I've got them right here. Yeah. Yeah, here they are. This is mine.
And madame's?
My wife? She's French.
Not according to this passport, monsieur.
What?
It was issued to her as a Russian citizen.
A Russian?
But I... Right, Mitch.
This visa was good for only 2 months, madame. You must report to the local precinct tomorrow.
Oh, what'll I do?
She will have 48 hours to leave the country. I'm sorry, monsieur. Good day, madame.
48 hours. 48 hours to leave Paris.
Yeah, if we only could leave.
Oh, Mitch.
We can't leave and we can't stay. Both sides will be watching for us, and now we'll have to hide from the police as well.
What'll we do?
Oh, don't worry, Kathy. We'll find a way. We'll find some way.
Don't thank me, Mitch. That's what the consular service is here for. And I'm glad you've come to your senses. When do you sail?
Well, I don't know for sure, Conley. I've written bad for some money. But I thought I might turn in my passport and get one for myself and my wife.
Your wife? Well, I'll be... Oh, why wasn't I invited to the wedding?
Nobody was.
Well, all right. Bring in her birth certificate. I'll fix it with the French Bureau.
She's not French.
Oh, that makes it tough.
Yeah, she's Russian.
Tougher still. You'll have to get her passport out of Moscow.
But we can't go to Moscow.
Well, I could try to get her papers through the mail. Let's see, it's the middle of December now. Check with me a couple of weeks after Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Kathy.
Hey, what's the idea, young lady? Sitting in the dark, crying on Christmas?
Hold me tight, Mitch. Hold me very close. Sometimes when I'm here all alone, I think all sorts of things, awful, dreadful things that might be happening to you. And then I cry.
Well, it's a wonder it hasn't gotten you before. Living in shadows, hiding in dark corners.
All right now. You're back.
Yeah, sure. It's all right for me. The only world I'll ever want is just one room like this. And the moon on the face, the way it is now.
That's all I want, too. One room. And us together. Just the three of us.
The three of us? You mean there's going to be... Oh, so... So that's why you were sitting in the dark. That's why you were crying when I came in.
Oh, Mitch.
Oh, now, Kathy, you mustn't cry. But that's nothing to cry about. You should be glad. Listen, Kathy. The chimes of Notre Dame. They're for us, Kathy. It's a sign. Everything's going to be all right. It's Christmas, Kathy.
This is why you're
in the world,
Mitch. Merry Christmas. And so, ladies and gentlemen, while we're waiting for the curtain to rise on the concluding act of one of the most real, most human love stories ever presented in the Gulf Theater, suppose we listen to a bit of real, down-to-earth philosophy. John?
Thank you, Roger. Folks, there's an old story about a man who wanted to save money on the feed for his horse. And every day he gave him less and less nourishment until just when he thought the experiment was a great success, the horse died. Well, nowadays we use automobiles instead of horses, and we know enough not to skimp on the quality of the gasoline that we feed our motors. Our cars take us a long way for a very few cents worth of fuel. and it's well worth a little extra care to stop where we get really top-quality gasoline, at the sign of the Gulf Orange Disc. Because when you see the Gulf Orange Disc ahead of you on the road, you know that behind it, there stands a peaceful army of workers and scientists. An army that is pledged to give you more performance, greater satisfaction, and greater value from every gallon of Gulf No-Nox that goes into your tank. That's why the Gulf people are not concerned with any one advantage alone. For instance, you'll be delighted with the anti-knock performance of Gulf No-Nox gasoline, and you'll also be delighted with the mileage and power and quick starting that it gives you. It pays you in every way, not just in one way, to stop at the sign of the Gulf Orange Disc and to make the good Gulf dealer your dealer.
Thank you, John. And now for Act Two of the Gulf Theater production, Winter in Paris, starring Don Ameche as Mitchell, Maureen O'Sullivan as Kathy, and Warren William as George Conley. January, February, March. The first 3 months of 1939 go by. Radios are blaring, people muttering the threat of war. And still Mitch and Kathy, his wife, remain in Paris, trapped, hunted by police and secret agents. Mitch, half mad with worry and despair, makes almost daily visits to the consulate. Early in April, we find him in Conley's office again.
But it's been over 3 months, Conley. There must be some way of getting a passport for my wife. You've got to do something, I tell you.
Don't you think I've been trying? Don't you think I... Sorry, Mitch, I didn't mean to snap at you. This European situation's getting me, too. Been working night and day.
Oh, and I know I've been a pest, but...
Forget it, old man.
All we want to do is get back to America. We've got to get back now. Kathy's going to have a baby.
Oh. Well, I'll let you know the minute I hear. If you want, leave me your address.
They've got to send those papers, Conley. It's the middle of July now.
I have sent a deposition to Washington. I'm doing all I can, Mitch.
Well, it's not enough. I'll tell you, this money is all we have. My wife is desperately ill. We've got to get home or she may not live.
Sorry, Mitch.
Sorry. You're sorry.
Can you
see another window, Mitch? Yeah. Just to get a breath of air, so.
You're watching. You are watching, aren't you? So then...
Oh, now, don't be silly, Kathy. They can't be looking for us anymore. Look, why don't you try to sleep?
Paris is so quiet, Mitch. Why is everything so still?
Well, because it's August. Lots of people are away.
Mitch, I'm afraid. I feel something terrible's happening.
Oh, now, Kathy, please try to sleep. Please try to sleep. Close your eyes and fall right. Some of this medicine.
Oh, it's so warm in here. You've closed the window. Drawn the shade.
Well, I thought maybe the lights from the street might waken you.
They never did before. Oh, there's someone down there. Is there? Tell me, Mitch.
He's been waiting for a couple of hours. Standing near the light. He keeps looking up.
They found us then.
Let him come up. I've got a gun now.
I wouldn't have a chance, Mitch. No, we've got to get away.
I'm sick of running. One shot, we wouldn't have to
run. Oh, Mitch, you mustn't. You...
Kathy. Kathy, what is it?
Help me up.
Kathy, you can't. You can't even walk.
Oh, Mitch.
Now, Kathy,
Mitch,
please.
I think it... Hi, darling. The hospital.
But how, Kathy? With him down there,
there's a door in the back. Get out that way. Help me. Carry me.
Kathy, if anything happens to you...
Carry me, darling. You'll find a cab.
Oh, let's hurry. Hurry.
For your wife, young man. There's not much hope, I'm afraid. It's possible we might save the child, but...
Don't get
away somewhere for an hour or so. Isn't there anything you have to do? Some business, perhaps?
Yes. Maybe there is.
Fine. Come back later.
Sure, there's something I've got to do. I've got to kill a man.
You standing out here all this time?
I practically own that lamppost by adoption. The concierge said you were out.
Oh, yes, I know. We thought...
I took a chance and waited. I knew how much this meant to you. I've got great news.
For us?
I don't know why, but Washington's anxious to evacuate you crazy Americans in case there's serious trouble here. They're letting our office act in doubtful cases. I've got enough authority to issue that passport for your wife. If you'll come in tomorrow, I'll... Hey, wait a minute. You can't do that. You're a big boy now.
Yes, sure. I'm awful big, I am. I just hope I haven't forgotten how to pray.
Doctor. I've got to see her right now. Is everything...
Yes, ma'am. She has a chance, a great chance. You can go in to see her.
Mitch?
Kathy, darling.
You want a boy, Mitch?
Oh, sure I wanted a boy. Is he very big?
7 pounds. Nest just waiting. Now I've got two of you to worry about.
Oh, no. There are no more worries, darling. We're going home. They can't separate us now. Connie got us our passports. We're going home, Kathy.
Home? Oh, darling. Darling. It can't be real.
Yes, Kathy, it's real. I'm taking you home.
Oh. That's silly. I've forgotten the days. And it's his birthday.
It's September 3rd. We sail just as soon as you're strong enough. Please get well quick, Kathy.
We'll come back with him someday, won't we?
Oh, sure, Kathy. Of course we will. After all, I still owe you a winter in Paris. And now, will you try to rest, Kathy? You know, you've just got to get well. What did you say, Kathy?
Oh, I love you, Mitch. I love you.
Thank you, Maureen, Don, and Warren, thank you. Thanks for a swell performance. And thanks, too, to Steve Fisher for such a splendid story. But don't go away now, because, you know, as soon as the curtain falls on our play, we always raise the lid of the Gulf question box. So you get ready to answer my questions or pay your forfeit.
Roger,
mm-hmm.
Warren William just suggested a good forfeit for me in case I miss.
Oh, well, now, I usually think up the forfeits, Maureen, but what is it?
Well, if I miss, I'll make a noise like an egg and beat it.
Oh, now, look. What is this?
Say, Raj, I think yes, I've even got a better forfeit. If I miss, suppose you ask me to imitate the sound of falling snow.
Oh, now, Don, falling snow doesn't make any noise.
Oh, that's the idea.
Uh-oh, now, wait. Just a second, Don. Falling snow does make a noise. Did you ever hear the expression, a howling blizzard? Now, for instance, old-timers can tell you that the famous blizzard of 1888 was a howling blizzard if ever there was one. And do you know, folks, the date of that famous blizzard was March 11th. Proof enough that winter isn't necessarily over even in March. That's why we suggest that you prepare for the unpleasant weather that's still ahead by driving in tomorrow at your neighborhood Good Gulf dealers. Your Good Gulf dealer is ready with the correct grade of Gulf Pride motor oil so that your engine will start easily and so that it will get full protection, too. At the same time, better let him help you get rid of those stiff, squeaky spots in your automobile chassis by giving your car a Gulf Flex registered lubrication job with those special Gulf Flex lubricants. Your car will ride easier and steer easier longer if you have it Gulf Flexed tomorrow at your neighborhood Good Gulf dealer.
Thank you, Johnny. And now for our question box. The first question goes to Don Ameche, who's now making the picture Lillian Russell for 20th Century Fox. Don, you must name three stars who played historical characters and the characters they played, and no fair, including yourself.
All right. Well, let's see. Charles Boyer played Napoleon.
Yeah, that's right.
And Betty Davis played Queen Elizabeth in Elizabeth and Essex.
Mm-hmm, that's two.
And, isn't Betty Davis going to be here next week with William Powell?
Yes, she is, but don't you change the subject. Now, you finish the question.
Charles Lawton played Henry VIII.
That, Don, is absolutely right. Good for you. 100% right. Our next question goes to Maureen O'Sullivan, soon to be seen in MGM's Pride and Prejudice. Maureen, the new picture, Swiss Family Robinson, was taken from the book of the same name. Now that book, is one of the very best sellers of all time. And the question is, who wrote it?
Oh, that's easy.
Oh, that's easy, huh?
See. I don't know.
Oh, I got a victim at last. Well, Maureen, it was Johann Wyss, W-Y-S-S. And for your forfeit, you must give sound effects to indicate the titles of the following pictures. Now, the first of all is Cat and Canary. Cat and the Canary.
Tweet, 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 tweet. Meow.
That's one of them. And the next is Four Wives. Four Wives.
I do.
Four Wives, yeah, that's right. Four Wives, that's one of them. And the last one is The Lone Wolf Strikes Back. Lone Wolf Strikes Back.
Oh, no, that's Tarzan, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, anyhow.
Well, that's very good. That sounds like Tarzan, and also sounds like a plot. That's good to you. And remember, folks, next week in the Gulf Theater, Betty Davis in her first comedy role with William Powell. So listen to the Gulf Theater next Sunday, and in weeks to come, you'll hear Robert Taylor, Barbara Stanwyck, Carol Lombard, Fred McMurray, Jack Benny, and all your favorite stars. Until then, this is Roger Pryor saying goodnight, everybody, for your neighborhood Good Gulf Theater.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.